Blog Talk Radio. Something
a little bit different right now. Till we get to that point, I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it. We're going to open up the telephone lines here in just a moment and go ahead and take your telephone calls here at the home of Intelligent Black Thought. We'll do a very special message here first from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Looking to minimize the possibility of exposure to COVID-19 or the coronavirus? Then head over to IWantAMask.com. We have face masks that have been approved by the FDA. Our price is $10 per mask, without 5 cents shipping. We offer discounts and free shipping for large orders. Check IWantAMask.com for details.
933, your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today. You are, of course, welcome to join us. Telephone lines are now open. Let me get caller from area code 419. You're on live with the Black Channel.
How you doing, Jason? My name is Joe. I'm calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Joe from Toledo as opposed to Akron. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, I just want to say this. I just want to share this. You definitely keep it 100 on all perspective of multiple topics. But I also want to express upon the point of a daily bread of information that you are spoiling me with, broadcasting 14 out of the last 15 days. You have not taken a break off, bro. And you're spoiling me with this, and I hope you don't stop. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking away from your life, Lee Hood, but you have, because I've been listening to you so long. And for you to be spreading this message for the last 14, 15 days, it has spoiled me to the point where, though, tonight's broadcast, what you're doing tonight, is another topic of multiple topics that you push on multiple things. So I just want to just share that with you because you are nonstop. You don't stop. You don't sleep with it, and you keep it on multiple topics. I just wanted to share that with you. Be one first, bro. Keep it going, okay?
Hardest working man in radio. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight, brother. Please do give us a call again. We are Intelligent Black Thought. White supremacy does not take to engage as much as I possibly can. So thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. Let me get caller from area code 816. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, Jason. It's Loretta from Boston, Massachusetts.
Loretta from Boston, what's on your mind?
Well, Jason, I just wanted to ask, when voting time comes and they still haven't offered us anything, do you think that our people will have the courage not to panic and just say, I just want to vote for anybody? My mother and my father used the F-bomb when we were talking about politics at me one time. They wouldn't listen to me at all. They just want to do anything to get...
Those are your parents. The older generation is defeated. So we don't have to worry about them. They're already bought off. They're already defeated. At this point, they're already irrelevant. The future is the young. The future is the active young. The old Negroes who sold their souls, they don't have any fight left in them if they ever actually had any, which most of them don't. So they're already beaten and defeated. They're just giving you beaten nigga talk, beaten nigga babble.
Sir. Right.
Defeated nigga babble. So you don't have to worry about that. They've already been beaten. They've already been broken. All they're going to do is tell you that you're beaten and broken too. So you don't have anything in common with them on that level. You're talking about freedom. Right. You're talking about freedom, and they like, what do you mean free? I'm free over here. You know, I just don't want to be free. I make more than minimum wage. I avoid the police. And I don't want a big-ass house like that. So I'm not trying to be equal with the rest of society. I'm just trying to get by. So you're talking about not just high but getting over. They're not going to have anything in common with them. So, no, they're just going to give you defeatist talk. Nothing to worry about.
Yes. Yeah, and one last thing, Jason, I just wanted to let you know. My situation is I'm an operating room tech, surgical assistant, and I've been listening to your broadcast and how you were saying go further in your field, get what you can get. I'm trying to get my nursing degree right now. I'm not far away. I think I've got a year and a half left. No, a year's worth of prereqs, and then I start the nursing program. But I'm usually in a captive situation in the operating room. I'm there assisting with surgery, and here are all these white people around talking politics. And I never like for anybody to talk above me, so I make sure I try to practice my vocabulary and everything. And I can tell you some of the talking points that I've shared with those white people in the operating room, you can hear a pin drop. I give them the treatment, and I just want to thank you for the right words and guidance, and I want to say I appreciate you and Black First.
Black First is, if I can say, just keep your ears open and don't give away your position. We appreciate you for giving us a call. Let me get caller from area code 323. You're on live with the Black. What's the name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, good evening. Good afternoon, Jason Black. This is Brother Elijah calling from Los Angeles. I want to just before I say anything, I love you, my brother. You are a true king. Okay, you're a true warrior. You, Professor Truth, and Brother Tariq Nasheed, I love all of you, hands down, and I would go to bat, and I would knock anybody off, all right, in y'all name, just letting you know. All right? With that being said, my brother, my question is, what is the problem? I've never seen this in my history of watching elections. Why the Democrats know the black people, the black Americans here are their base. Why won't they just concede and just meet our demands? What is the problem? Because this is, you just named it, there's going to be no election this year. What is the problem? Why don't they just want to just take care of their base? What's the problem, sir?
Because we have conditioned, they never wanted to do anything more. The real goal was to annihilate us after slavery. That didn't occur. So we are here through an accident and a fluke. Annihilating us is the unfinished business of history. So now we're here and there's more of us than ever. And rounding us up like they did the Jews in Nazi Germany isn't really an option. They don't really have the ability to do what they want to do. So now they're just trying to figure out a way to benign neglect and let us wither on the vine, get us locked and boxed, and then just strangle us to death slowly over the course of a century, which is what they're doing. Take a look at the black population in California and other states. The populations went up, and now they've gone way back down again. So we were never intended for that. As far as politics is concerned, the real thing is they figured out a way to make us useful in that regard. So they got us to pump up their political numbers while at the same time voting against our own best interests. But the goal has never been to do anything for us, and it never will be. We're going to have to demand that for ourselves. But the goal was never to do anything. It's never to do anything now. They're waiting for the good old days to come back. Abraham Lincoln and then Franklin Delano Roosevelt and then JFK. And then Jimmy Carter, and then Bill Clinton. They keep bringing somebody back to keep us distracted, and they give us some lip service, but the condition never changes. That's the game they've been playing. Give black folk lip service and tell black folk, be patient, it's coming. Be patient, it's coming. That's why they love foisting religion on us, because then they get to rap, tell us that religion means be patient, it's coming. One day, don't know when, but it's coming. They found that to be a very useful, very powerful tool. It's coming someday. And previous generations bought into it. So our generation, brother, is the first one that they have ever encountered that isn't falling for the con job this time. We're the first ones not falling for it. Now, they don't have any other plays in their book because we're saying, no, this is specifically what we want, and we ain't moving without it. So they're running around like crazy trying to figure out how do we twist this and reformulate formula so that they'll exist like their fathers and their grandfathers and their grandmothers did. And it's not working. But understand, they're going to keep trying it because it's the only play that they have. And what we're going to show them is we will wait you out. But we're not going to make another decision that is against our interests anymore. The previous generation's condition, you think that's what we're going to accept forever. We're here to give you a new lesson now. We're the first generation that's done it, but we're here to tell you it's a new day. That old stuff you've been pulling, we're not falling for it this time. So let's understand, brother, this is a brand new world to them. They've never seen black folk do this. Barack Obama was supposed to have niggas voting for them for the next 50 years. That's what was supposed to happen, and it didn't last 50 months. So they've run out of other options. They've run out of tricks. At this point right now, it's just, well, ignore them niggas, and say that their resolve breaks before the election. It didn't happen in 2016. It didn't happen in 2018. Third time's the charm, or three strikes, you're out. Pardon the expression. But that's where we at right now. This is the first time we ever put our foot down and meant what we said. That's the difference. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. 706, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. This is Lamont Westfield calling from Augusta, Georgia, sir.
Lamont Westfield from Augusta, what's on your mind, brother?
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a question. First, I want to start by saying that I'm a big fan of you and Professor Black Troop. Both of y'all are a great speaker and did great and y'all did give out a lot of great concepts. But what I want to talk about is that why are black people so loyal to the Democrat Party, even though they don't do nothing for the black community as a whole?
Because it's a con game that's been played on us here. Like I explained to the previous caller, it's a con game that's been played on us since the end of this. Factions fighting with each other over who's going to control white supremacy. They found a way to make us their political puppets, and that's what happened. So you have neither one of them is for us. One pretends to be for us, and the other one pretends to be at odds with them, when in reality, both of them are only have mutual interests. That's you need to understand. So it's really not about Democrat or Republican. Remember, Abraham Lincoln and friends were the Republicans. Black folk voted loyally for them until 1940s. Then it flipped. So just understand that's the way it always was. I mean, we playing this game. What we need to recognize is there is no difference between parties, because it's not about do you vote Democrat. It's about do you understand that there really is no difference between the two of them. That this is a game that gets played. These are labels that they switch out and swap out at will. And when you understand that these are just symbolic labels, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, these swap at will. Take a look at the end result. The end result is white supremacy. So as black people, that's the thing that up until now, we didn't want to stick to our guns about, because we had the prophets speak to us, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, so on and so forth. So it's not that this is new information. This is the first generation that's dug in its heels and said, you know what, we're going to do it. That's the only real difference. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 310. You're on live with the Black Channel.
All right. This is Loke Thies, Compton.
What's on your mind, brother?
Could it be, I don't know if anyone brought this up, but could it be that the whole pandemic and all of this that's going on today, could this be a response to the new voices of black media and the paradigm shift that's going on?
Well, I mean, the virus, its origin is either at a meat market or a lab nearby, but trying to change the subject is definitely on the agenda, because before now, Joe Biden was trying to figure out, is there a way to get to the White House? He certainly needed the subject to be changed. He doesn't have enough pluses to get elected. The white media understands this. So really, all they've been trying to do is make people hate Trump, and then, okay, you vote for Joe Biden, and now you've got a white supremacist who can take all the pieces on the board. That's what you're dealing with now. So they see an opportunity to use this virus as a means to change the discussion and to water down Joe Biden enough by changing the discussion, make the subject Trump, so that you're not sitting up here talking about three strikes Biden and showing that there's not a dime's bit of difference between the two of them. You have the Democrat white supremacist and the Republican white supremacist. That's the only purpose of it. So once we understand that, then we're not going to get fooled anymore. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 347. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, this is Jonathan from Brooklyn.
John from Brooklyn, what's on your mind?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you a question. How should we come about it, like, dealing with, like, money matters? Because, like, in my family, there's a lot of people who are, like, very bad with money. Like, it's just, like, horrible. Like, I took your advice for the last couple of years, and I paid off my house in Florida. But okay. I'm having troubles with it over here, like, when working with other black people. But I'm trying my best to work with them, but it's just, like, going south completely.
Don't. That's the short answer. Don't.
Okay.
It is nice if you can collaborate with other people. It certainly makes it easier. But if other folk are not on it, then do for self. And you will meet up with other people in other areas. Because Florida is a bit of a dead zone for black folk, to be totally honest. It's kind of like the mirror opposite in many ways of California. A bunch of Negroes chasing surfboards and interracial sex to a large degree. That they've totally checked out of survival. Everything's a damn playground to them until white supremacy shows up. Then all of a sudden, everybody wants to talk about black empowerment. But you make sure you are straight so you can actually be prepared when you link up with other people, either in Florida or outside of Florida. Right now, they're predicting that there's going to be another mortgage crisis coming up here. If your home is paid off, you're in the best position possible to take out equity against it and purchase another property. So, I mean, a lot may be getting ready to open up for you here now, but nothing's going to open up for you if you are not prepared. Don't worry about everybody else not running the race like they should. You need to be the strongest you can so that you can link up with the rest of us. But this is not about if folk in Florida got their act together. This is about if you got your act together. Do you understand?
Okay. You got it.
You don't do us
so much, Jason.
You're not here to save the world. You are here to save yourself. As Dr. Claude Anderson said, black folk got this thing about trying to save the rest of the world. The plane is going down when the oxygen mask popped down. Black folk are sitting up here looking around the rest of the plane talking about, does anybody else need some oxygen? Nigga, put the mask on yourself. Then you can go talk about saving everybody else. That's what you do. Got it?
You got it. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from Air 202. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason Black, my name Abdul, my team from the real D.C.
Abdul from D.C., what's on your mind, brother?
Man, look, it's a pleasure meeting up with you, soldier, and listening to your podcast. I actually just, like, sort of stumbled on it, and it's ironic how similar minds sort of just sort of gravitate towards others of their ilk. Because, man, a lot of what you be talking about, I've been on for a few years now, but not to waste too much of your time. 2 points. And I say the real D.C. because I listen to a lot of callers call from D.C. I'm a native born and raised Washingtonian. I'm talking about went through the crack era in the 80s, the census killings in the 90s, mass incarceration, gentrification. And there's a clear divide between the native Washingtonians and the gentrified. And one thing that I've noticed on the grassroots level is that, man, the people been unifying. I'm talking about a lot of the stuff they try to project saying, oh, it's the blacks. They not doing this. They not doing that. Man, once I bump these streets and I be riding through, I see the masks on. I see the men, total strangers. Man, we linking up. Hey, man, it's some tissue over there. All right, cool, brother. Be safe. Be strong. I see men helping old ladies, people being really respectful towards one another. And it's unlike anything I've ever seen in this city before. So for the most part, the native Washingtonians, from the old heads, even to some of the young boppers, they COVID. 2 things. And then my last thing, religion. Where religion become a detriment to people is when people commit themselves to something, but they don't do the research themselves. Instead, they being spoon-fed. I'm a Muslim. And even within our community, it's a lot of prejudice, it's a lot of racism, and a lot of times they try to steer the African-American from really assuming their identity, connecting with their lineage, and putting themselves at that at a proper position to be able to sit at the table with all the other demographics in Islam, because they'll say, no, we all one people. There is no such thing as race. There is no such thing as religion. You just got to believe. But once you really study the religion, one, and I might be going, I might be going left a little bit, but Prophet Muhammad, he named his lineage. All the companions during the time of Prophet Muhammad named their lineage. When Islam first came in the form with Prophet Muhammad, the first thing he did was he went to his tribe. So there's no such thing as, oh, we just all one people, and you African American, don't worry about your lineage, while the Pakistanis do that and put themselves in a position where the Arabs do that and put themselves in a position where the Ethiopians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But once
well,
you really get to study
America. I think that's a very good point as black people in America. And I've mentioned about this before, that I once heard a Muslim say that his complaint about Christianity is that Christians believe things, but then they cannot tell you why they believe what they believe. Whereas Muslims are trained to be more responsible for what they believe, and they're actually expected to know why they believe the things that they do. So having a much more strict series of teaching and instruction, I think, is one of the benefits of Islam in general. But here's the real thing about it. The real thing about it is our greatest thing that we can do is something that transcends our religion, because as a people,
exactly,
as a people, understanding exactly what you were saying there before, at the end of the day, we're all we got as a people. And if there's been one exactly good thing that has come out of this virus, out of this outbreak here, it's really put a spotlight on people understanding and being responsible to each other and for each other, even in that D.C. area. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. Let me get a caller from area code 713. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, this is Terrence from Houston.
Terrence from Houston, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been thinking about this voting situation, and my thoughts is if we're going to threaten them with Donald Trump for another 4 years, why not just vote for him outright instead of
we're not supporting anybody. We're not threatening them with we're not threatening anybody with anything. We are telling them either side, it doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican, if you are not presenting a black agenda, you receive no vote. So no threatening. We're not using Donald Trump as a stalking horse or threatening anybody with Donald Trump. No, we're not.
Well, if the Democratic Party wins without our support, that would be catastrophic for black people.
Okay, no. If they win without our support, they are going to have to eternally stay where they are.
They're going to have to do what?
They're going to have
stay where
to
they
eternally,
are.
They are going to have to eternally stay where they are. You can't shake hands. Stop talking. Stop. You're babbling. You asked a question. I'm answering it. Stop talking. This is not the let me talk hour. Stop. You're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Stop for a moment so you can get educated. Because you don't know anything about politics or strategy whatsoever. You started off wrong about, we might as well vote for Trump. No, we're not voting for anybody who does not present a black agenda. All we're going to do is inform these political parties that there will be consequences if they don't. That's what
we
do.
Consequences for us if we don't vote. Like,
dude,
if we don't, and the Democratic Party win, it'll be a huge consequence.
I'll tell you when you can talk again, okay? Folks did not call. People are not tuning in to hear you babble and ramble on with your complete lack of any actionable knowledge whatsoever. They didn't want to hear you call up. There's always some old nigga going, I got all the information. No, you don't. You fuck out as soon as you open your mouth.
I think you're setting us up for failure, dude. I think you're setting us up for major failure. Just my opinion. That's all
okay,
I got to say.
And what do you think would be success? Are worried about Trump. The old scared civil rights generation. You gonna bring Trump in here? I'm not scared of Trump. How you not scared? How you ain't worried now? You don't know what's going on. I'm not scared of either. But if they win without us, first of all, they can't. But second of all, even if they did, you don't hear Asians talking about if they win without us. You don't hear Jews talk about if they win without us. You don't hear white gays talk about if they win without us. So understand, scared nigga babble is a very real phenomena. If they win without us, we risk. Okay, the Democrats won under Barack Obama. You gonna cause troubles there. You gonna cause troubles. This is a grown-ass man. Well, I mean, a boy in a grown man's body, maybe. I don't know. He might be prepubescent. Certainly, intellectually, he is. Don't get me with us. They've been winning with us and then turning their ass up at us. They've been winning elections with us, and what has that gained us? That's the type of nigga to tell you, well, under Barack Obama, we got Obamacare. No, Obama got Obamacare. You setting us up for failure. Okay, so what you're telling us is that we were succeeding before. When? When were we succeeding? When I asked him, tell me when we were succeeding, he hung up. When I said, tell us when we were succeeding, he hung up the phone. That's what success looks like then. Like, you don't know now. You don't know. That's the kind of fella he'll be calling up Roland Martin next. Roland, them crazy niggas over there in the new black media, them crazy niggas over there. They don't understand. They're going to get Trump. They're going to get Trump elected in office. Show he is. Now watch me dance. That's right, Roland. Get it. We're going to work it out. Caller from area code 334. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where'd you come from? Last try. Caller from area code 334.
Selma, Alabama. Jane Jones, Selma, Alabama.
Turn off your speakers, James. Turn off your speakers. Put down the watermelon and pay attention to what's been on the damn phone.
All right. I'm Jane Jones, Selma, Alabama.
What's on your mind, Jane? Ask,
what's on my mind? I want to know why in Selma, they let us walk around like we're crazy. And they ain't trying to do nothing for us.
Brother, and I mean this as respectfully as I can, so please don't get offended, okay? Just help me out here, okay? What in the hell are you talking about? It must be Molly Sunday. Caller from area code 832. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, good evening, my brother. It's your brother Dorian calling out of Houston, Texas. I'm also going to the Hamilton B1C University. How are you this evening?
All right, Dorian out of Houston. What's on your mind, brother?
Oh, man, I have to apologize for my brother that called out of Houston earlier, man. All of us don't think like that. It's such a fundamental thing. How the hell you missed the mark on that one? What you say, look, listen, this was a slap in the face to us, this stimulus check, okay? Not only was the $1,200, that's something, excuse my language, that you will piss away in no time, but as well, you mean to tell me you guys can pop up with that money out of thin air? And we've been asking for reparations all this time. Right now, black folks should choke anybody that asks them about voting. No vote. Do not vote. Republican, Democrat, leave the damn white supremacists alone. Excuse my language. But it infuriates me, and it should anger all of us that you would sit there and do something like that. You ain't promising that, you know, you've been playing with. I mean, how long are you going to be somebody's little floozy or, you know, little plaything? Just stop with the nonsense. I mean, get on real.
What you're saying, brother, is what I've been saying the whole time here. We as black people should be mortally offended.
Absolutely.
We should be mortally offended that somebody has spent all these damn years telling us what we can get and what we can't have is too expensive. It would take years and years. It's an open-ended commitment. Remember all those things Barack Obama told Ta-Nehisi Coates? It's an open-ended commitment. It's too big. It's too long. We don't know where we're at. With this thing with the coronavirus, they're already telling you we don't know when it could end. We don't know when it could be over. We don't know when we can fully open up. We don't know anything, but start spending the money now. So all these things that wasn't stopping them, this when you were telling us just 2 months ago you couldn't do it for these exact same reasons. So what they're doing, brother, is they are testing us. They're testing us
to see if
they just outright slap us in the face because they don't have another play. The real problem is we're on code. We don't have a play. So if all else fails, threaten violence. If all else fails, tell them they don't exist. And let's see if that works. That's where they're trying now because if this tactic of ignoring us fails, it's all downhill from here. I'll let you have the last one.
Well, thank you. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I'm saying you and Tyreek and Professor Black Truth, man, you have a natural talent to be ministers. Y'all put fire in my bones when you talk. And I'm sure you do the same thing for the audience. That's why we all tag preaching now. But the thing is that we have to have more pride than that as so-called black people. Because these SOBs, no respect. They're still playing with us and saying, okay, are you going to hold out or not? You damn skip it, we're going to hold out. I apologize for that, brother. Well, we don't vote for Trump, or we're going to help it. All that old boogeyman stuff, stop. You're an adult male. You ain't scared of nobody. They've been here. All of them are damn white supremacists. Grow up and realize what it is, you know? But the thing is for us, if we could call ourselves men, stand up on what you believe in. And hell, we ain't voting for them until somebody come up with some. No, excuse me, not come up with until they cut a check and give us some land, and the check is coming in the mail, just like you did with this COVID-19 stuff. We ain't got nothing to talk about. I'm sorry, bro. There you go.
They're testing us. They're trying to call our bluff, and our job is to show them. Oh, trust me, suicide vest is fully strapped. We ready to
die. Absolutely. Come on. That's what we need to do.
We're ready to go.
They don't play with Al Qaeda.
Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight, brother. We're ready to go. Matt, please, let me pull all the pins on all these grenades. Who you threatening? We all going to live or we all going to die. We can all do it right here, but you're not going to keep holding guns to our heads and threatening us. And saying, we no, we're all going to the promised land or we're all going to stay in the wilderness together. But whatever happens, we're going to do it together. Caller from area code 678, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's the name? Where you calling from?
Hey, how's it going, man? My name is James. I'm calling from New Jersey.
James from New Jersey, what's on your mind, brother?
Hey, well, I want to say, man, shout out to you. You know, I just started tuning into you because, you know, I've been listening to Tyreek Nasheed a lot, but, you know, I tuned into you like last month and I'm already on hooked. But I want to say, you know, I actually got my 1200 stimulus check and it was shocking. You know, it was in my account, but I just put it in my savings account. I just transferred it to my savings account, you know, because, you know, sons are telling me they might just take it back.
Well, here's the real problem with it. We got black folk out here as individuals. They're going to throw you $1,200. Some of y'all might get $2,000. Meanwhile, these corporations are getting trillions. The corporations are getting trillions. So the people who ain't getting nothing at all, and first of all, how far is $1,200 going to go for you anyway? But the people who are getting trillions of dollars are going to be set for the next decade while they're slipping that on by and distracting the population with, okay, and here's $1,200 or here's $2,000 for some of you, but not for all. As they say, try not to spend it all in one place, but in reality, what are you going to do with $1,200 or $2,000? I mean, is that even a whole month's rent? And if it is, wow, where are you living at? But don't worry about that, brother. Just put it someplace safe, but don't be starstruck by it. This is not impressive.
No, I'm not.
They owe us millions per individual, not thousands. You owe us millions per person, not thousands. And it's not going to change. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 754. You're on live with the Black Channel.
How you doing, JB? Thank you for taking my call. My name is Jerome, and I'm calling from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Okay, brother, if you're on a speakerphone or something, you need to take it off the speaker because I can't hardly hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound better. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Sorry about that. My name is Jerome M., calling from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Jerome from West Palm Beach, Florida's checking in tonight. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, thank you very much for all the advice that you've been given. I actually took your advice back, I want to say about a year and a half ago, but getting into IT. Before, I was actually a major appliance technician for about 4.5 years. And I transitioned into IT about last year, June. So definitely everything what you said about, you know, the demand and people that are working in essential services, IT is definitely the business to go. I was actually let go from my job, but it never worried me because, you know, I was preparing for it. Also, I've been getting offers as we speak, but I'm just been taking this time now just to actually upgrade my skills and study more. So I just wanted to ask you a question, though. With this whole pandemic happening, I've just been basically thinking much, much more about, you know, ownership and doing for myself and, you know, building a business. I definitely see it's possible with IT, but also taking in my skills and mind that I had before with major appliance, you know, that's definitely valuable as well. So my advice, well, the advice that I'm just probably looking for is, would it be a good idea to go back into major appliance, or would it be a good idea to just, you know, progress forward where I am now with IT and move forward with that?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the accolades about that. I want you young people out there to know, have some real actionable information. And there's some mush-mouth people telling y'all to wait for the government to give you a job, or wait for the government to give you a debt. You can't wait that long. You got to build on your own so that you can get enough power to force the government to give you a throw. So thank you very much for that as well here. And I hope that's working out for you. As far as what to do, the first thing I would actually ask you is, before you think about branching off into anything else intellectually, you need to make sure you have a firm financial foundation under you. How much money do you have saved in the bank?
Okay, so I had an outlook of, if anything, I was going to probably move on independently by myself within 2 years. So right now, towards the business, I've been saving up about, approximately right now, I have about $15,000.
Yeah, $15,000 in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How long did it take me to save up $15,000?
Well, it took me, I want to say, probably about 2.5 years.
Okay. Really, you're probably going to need something closer to twice that. Also,
yeah,
how's
I was thinking 50.
Okay, stop. How's your credit score looking?
Right now, it's just out of 690.
Okay. You need to try to get that up over about 710. You really need to get that up into a little bit of a higher range so that you have the ability to borrow other people's money. You have money in the bank so that you yourself are not cash poor, but you get your credit together so when it's time to make a financial move, you're risking other people's money and not your own. Got it?
Yes, sir.
If you're going to risk something, shouldn't you risk somebody? Well, Jason, if I don't pay it back, I'll owe them. Yeah, but you still got your $30,000, $40,000 in the bank. I would rather owe somebody and have my money in the bank than have spent everything I got and have nothing. So that's the reason for getting your credit together. So you're not just to supplement your income, but so if you do want to make a move, you can risk other people's income, other people's money, not yours. So that would be okay. The main thing I would tell you.
I'm actually 34.
Okay. So far, you're doing good here. I really want you to see about putting another year or two into this. You really need to have a firm financial foundation under yourself, especially with the environment going on right now. It sounds like you're not suffering right now, which is good. But, you know, you need to get more than what you got right now. I don't think you, in my opinion, I don't think you should be trying to go in any other direction until you get some more money up under you. After that, it depends on what you excel at. The formula doesn't change. If you excel at something, that's how you get to charge a very high fee for it, and that's how you create wealth, is by being excellent at what you do.
Right. Okay.
Maybe about, I can't run up here and tell you, well, here's the next move, that's the move. Whatever you excel at is going to determine how much you make. So it doesn't matter what it is. If you are the best in town or the best in the state at it, you don't have to make the money. The money makes itself. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, sir. I definitely do. Oh, I always wanted to thank you for that New Year's shout out for contributing towards Race War. My only regret is that I couldn't contribute more at the time, but definitely with your new project coming out, I will be going 400 with it. Any young person out there right now that's listening to JB, the guy is telling you the truth, because I don't even speak to some of my family right now because I've always been trying to be on this, you know, in self-independence and entrepreneurship, and I've been told that I should just work for somebody for the rest of my life. My own father even told me that. So the advice that he's given is real, and I stand strong and firmly behind it. Be one to the family.
Thank you very much, brother. I'm very glad we gave you something you could use here. What you all are finding out is that very often your parents don't know what they're talking about. I always told you, you don't have to hate your parents. You don't have to drag them down the street from the back of a pickup truck, but you do need to understand what their limitations are. When they give you bad advice, you do need to know when to put on the brakes and say, okay, I'm not going to follow that over there. Hero, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 530, last try, you're on live. You found, okay, he's got his speakers on. Caller from area code 215, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, wake up. Stop rubbing on yourself.
Hello?
Yes, you can stop rubbing on yourself, caller from 215. Stop saying hello. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, I've never called and I didn't know. I gave her area code 267. This is
Sharon, Philadelphia. Put down the baby oil. Stop rubbing yourself up. I know what you ladies do while I'm talking, but you're on the phone now, so.
Are you talking to me, sir?
Yes, I'm talking to you, damn it. Yes, I'm talking to you.
Okay, because I'm not rubbing on myself, you full of crap. I called in to find out where you got that bit of information that America is giving Africa money regarding this virus.
I never said America.
Hello?
I never said America is giving Africa money, you unruly crack addict. I never said that.
I'm not a crack addict. Maybe your mother
and
is.
You know what? You're also not on the phone either. It's Molly's night. Caller from area code 252. You're on live with the Black Channel. Brother from area code 252, you're busy laughing, damn it. What the hell's wrong with y'all tonight? This nigga here, area code 214. Are you playing the stick on the Molly too?
Jason, hello. Jason, I just wanted to go lightly. Thank you for finally taking my call after all this time.
What is your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, my goodness. I must be hosting somebody else's program tonight.
Go lightly from Dallas. Well, in Atlanta currently by way of Dallas.
Dallas. Oh, I've talked to you before. This is going to be a hoot. What's on your mind?
Yes, you have. Great speaking to you again, sir. I'm spending much of my time, as I stated earlier, that I did listen to you. However, touching on tonight's subject, in regards to the Black vote, there is no Democrat entering that White House without Black America, period. The demographics are very apply the demographic to the Electoral College, it is clear as day. There is no Hispanic coalition that will ever put any Democrat into the White House. This is just how it is. As we all understand, as a majority of Hispanics do live in California, there is simply not enough of their population east of Mississippi that would ever allow any Democrat via the Electoral College to enter the White House. I've studied this. This is what my major in college. I said this to everyone. I made it very clear, 2015 and 2016, that Trump would win because no black American, not enough, is going to vote Democrat. The only way a Democrat wins is by black America physically voting. So if black America holds their vote, which is still very powerful, the power of the black vote in actually voting and not voting, this is what will lead to a Republican win. So you are correct. Many in your live chat are correct, but this simply is the fact. And the situation that occurred in 2016, this pull, this push to bring up the Hispanic population, as you understand better than anybody, it is not the population. It is the Electoral College, but it's dependent.
Well,
on the
even without
population.
That. It doesn't really matter,
yes,
because even without that, they lack the numbers, period. Even without it's a new day. It's a new day,
yes,
because,
sir,
understand, black people's issues are not just confined to black people. It affects the body politic in general. So you figure for whatever issue, we're going to have a spillover of 5% outside the society itself. So we've got influence beyond just ourselves. So this is not a local storm, it's an earthquake. You got reverb going on back there behind you, but thank you for calling. She was actually awake at least. Let me get caller from area code 424. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Kenny calling from Los Angeles.
Kenny from Los Angeles. What's on your mind, brother?
I just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying with these a couple callers ago, the guy calling, talking about, are we going to vote for Trump? I mean, no, just go for Trump. It seems like a lot of these older people from the civil rights generation are just so dead hell bent on getting Trump out of office, and they don't care about, you know, anything else that we're talking about. You try to bring this up, they look at me like I'm a fucking coon, and I really don't get it. Number two, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm 24 years old. I wanted to say thank you. Ever since I started hearing from you, I checked into school trying to get my IT degree, and yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Well, I mean, look, brother, the civil rights generation has sold their soul to citizens. They sold their soul to acceptance to the rule. There'll be a Dr. Claude Anderson in there somewhere. But as a group, they sold their souls to the game, man. They sold their souls to the game. They went for integration, hook, line, and sinker. It was everything they ever wanted. At long last, God Almighty, white acceptance. When in reality,
right,
they're... Your definition of white acceptance meant consumerism at white stores and interracial sexual access. We've got access to their stores, and we've got access to sex without getting your head blown off. But the power, wealth, and influence is still right where it's always been. And as Neely Fuller has always taught black people, we get in the bed with white folk and get confused. We hop out of the bed confused. A white person hops out of the bed with a black person and goes to being white. A black person hops out of the bed with a white person and tells themselves, I'm white too. So the civil rights generation wanted to sell out. It's a difficult reality to accept, but we have to accept the truth. The civil rights generation wanted to sell out. They wanted to give in. They wanted to surrender. That's why they didn't support Malcolm X when he was alive. Take a look at what they did after he was killed. They didn't support Dr. King when he was alive. Take a look at what they did after he was killed. They didn't support Fred Hampton and Huey Newton when they were alive. Take a look at what they did after they were killed. Take a look at what they did after they were killed. They didn't support him while they were alive. You had black folks speaking against Malcolm when he was alive. It was my generation that came back 20 years later and revived Malcolm's name and the mission. Spike generation rediscovering Malcolm X, because we had to go back 20 years to find somebody who spoke for us, because the folk of the older generation didn't, by and large. You might have had some lucky parents here and there, but as a rule, the folk of the generation, civil rights generation that raised mine, we had to go to Malcolm and dig up old records and dig up old tapes, because the elders wasn't giving us no game. So we were the ones who resurrected Malcolm's majesty. We were the ones that, and then we went digging even further. We dug into Malcolm, and then we went all the way back to Marcus Garvey. We kept digging and went back to Nat Turner and kept digging. But my generation did that. The civil rights generation was beaten like dogs and trying to figure out how to get their old jobs at the plant back, because they did the rope-a-dope on them. They gave them jobs at, quote, the plant. in the 60s and 70s and then got rid of them. Started closing the plants. Gave you a job at the plant and then closed them, outsourced them, sent them away. So the civil rights generation spent their whole damn time trying to figure out how they were going to pay for all those houses that they had mortgaged when they went to work at the plant. How are we going to get the jobs back at the plant? Damn white supremacy. And that's what it became. So you don't have to worry about that. So there's no way they're going to understand you.
Yeah.
Until you learning to speak the vocabulary of defeat, they can't understand a word you're saying. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do call us again. I'm going to take one or two more phone calls here. Let me get caller from area code 713. You're on live with Black Channel. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Yes, you were talking to me earlier. I'm the babbler that you were talking about.
Oh, good. You're going to tell us what success is.
Well, my theory of what success is, will I be able to express it fully?
Yeah, you got 30
all
seconds.
Right. Okay, well, I'm from Houston, Texas, man, and I live in Houston. Houston speaks like 82 different languages here. Like, you keep bragging about Dallas, but Houston is so far past Dallas in, like, as far as economics, employment, and immigration and all of those things. And what I'm noticing is that our immigrants are building 10 times faster than a lot of the black people here, right? The area is large. The money that runs Houston would be oil and hospital money.
How old are you?
I'm 35. I'm 35.
Wow, you sound a whole lot older than 35. You were asked a question. You said that what I was saying was a recipe for failure in the election. What is the recipe for success in the election then?
Well, first off, we have to stop the bleeding. Right now, we're bleeding pretty bad. And you said, this is your words, you said, how would they do with another 4 years of Trump? And my theory is, so if that's such a bad thing, why not just give it to them?
You said, what is the bleeding? You said we need to stop the bleeding. What is
the bleeding? To me, the bleeding is the immigration right now. Right now, you don't believe in it, but my personal feelings behind it, labor is a huge boost to a community's economy. Labor's huge. The Hispanics, I see this in Houston all the time. They're totally dependent on their labor and the fact that these Spanish people don't speak English. So that's just a
not true.
What?
You don't know anything. Not true.
Okay, cool. I mean, well, if you asked me what my opinion was, and I'm giving it to you.
My opinion is
when I'm around Houston, what I see a lot is I go to Hispanic neighborhoods and it's built up. The houses look new. They got tons of businesses with Hispanic names on it.
Name for me some new built up. I mean, Hispanic neighborhood in Houston.
Okay. For one, they have these grocery stores.
And I want my people in the chat room who live in Houston
to look it up.
The chat room to validate whether or not he's talking.
Look it up. Yeah, tell them to look it up.
Name for me the new built up Hispanic neighborhood in Houston.
Well, the thing is, they're not new. They're old Hispanic neighborhoods, but
no,
they look.
Okay, now he's saying they ain't new. Nigga,
okay, you want me to give you the name? Okay, I'll give you the name. Okay, for one, Southeast Houston, Denver Harbor, Pasadena, right? The east side of Houston. These are all Hispanic neighborhoods. You go into these neighborhoods, right?
These are new.
They look newer. Put it that way.
They look newer. So, in other words, in your opinion, they look new. Now, they ain't new, but to your eyes, based on where you were born, well, I mean, they look new. And by the way, in the chat room, they're saying that Pasadena is a slum and it ain't all Hispanic either.
Well, Pasadena is Hispanic and white. That's what it is. That's where we have 90% of the world's refineries here, and they all
everybody,
in Pasadena. So most of the people.
Pasadena looks like Baytown. Now, I know Baytown. Pasadena looks like Baytown.
But they own the homes there.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying. The Hispanics own the homes and they own the businesses.
Okay, how does this nigga babble help us win an election? You got 10 seconds to explain.
Well, you asked me what I thought, and I've given it to you. Now you're switching the conversation. You're pivoting the conversation.
Wait a second. Is Pasadena a part of Houston?
It is. It's suburb of Houston.
Pasadena is not its own.
They don't.
Pasadena is not its own.
No, it's not. It's not. Galveston is. Texas City is. But Pasadena is a suburb of Houston, basically. It is. It's a 15 minutes away from Houston. Houston is probably outside of L.A. mass-wise. It's probably the biggest city in the United States. Right? So it's massive. It's a massive place. Like you have Dallas and Fort Worth and all of them places. In between all of them places, it's a lot of space. But Houston is built the same way. But in between Dallas and Fort Worth, it's tons of people.
If you type in the word Pasadena, Texas.
Go ahead, type it in.
The first thing you are going to see is that it says Pasadena is a city in the U.S. state of
it's
Texas.
It's not a city. It's not a city. I know what it says, but it's bullshit. It's a suburb of Houston. That's bullshit. Just like we have the Woodlands. The Woodlands is a suburb of Houston. And that's a lot farther. You have Spring. You have Katy. All of these Katy. You have Pearland. All of these are suburbs of Houston.
Does Pasadena have a mayor?
It may. I don't know.
What was it?
He doesn't
you
matter.
Don't know. It may. You don't
he
know.
It
may,
doesn't matter if he
know.
Does. He doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't control
I'm
shit. He doesn't control.
Texas.
If he does, it's.
I am at
PasadenaTexas.com
right now. I'm at PasadenaTexas.com right now.
Hey,
I'm looking at the telephone number for the mayor's office right now.
He doesn't control shit.
Okay, here's what I want you to do.
He doesn't control shit.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn on your TV to PBS. I want you to get your purple Barney the Dinosaur doll. Well, there you have it. He sat there and argued and argued and argued. It's a suburb. It ain't no city. It ain't no city. It ain't no city. It's a suburb. It ain't no city. All I had to do was Google it. Pasadena, Texas, first thing that comes up, it's a city in the Houston Metroplex. That don't mean it's a city, though. That don't mean it's a city. I don't care what Google say. Okay, I'm at PasadenaTexas.com. There's a number to the mayor's office. Does Pasadena, Texas have a mayor? I don't know. Now, the problem here is when you've got a know-nothing nigga that demands to be heard. You grab these know-nothing niggas who sit up here and waste a bunch of time. He don't know a damn thing. He's really just trying to argue for the Democrats. We need to vote for Democrats. What we need to do. I mean, we don't really want the Hispanics is running things. Nigga, you ain't left your block. Much less been in no damn Pasadena, Texas. You haven't left your block. Defeated ass niggas. You ain't left your block. Ain't no has any intentions, is a suburb of Houston. He's got a whole damn website with the mayor's office. I ought to call him up tomorrow. Would you like me to call him up tomorrow? Sir, I think you should know that you're not really a city. You're a suburb. And you are illegitimate. You don't have any power. I know because Barney Rubble from Houston, Texas, called me up and said so. He also says that Mexicans run the joint. People, do you see how dumb you have to be to disagree with us here at the Black Channel? Do you see the level of intellect you have to descend to start disputing us here at the Black Channel? This is seriously what's happening. This would be damn me comedy if it wasn't for real. Caller from area code 952, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller from 952, last try, you're on live. Okay, you were on live. Caller from area code 770. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, Jason, this is Gary out of Atlanta.
Okay, brother, it sounds like you at the discotheque. I'm glad they opened them back up in your city.
Hold on, Jason.
This nigga sound like he's either at an arcade or getting it in.
Jason, can you hear me now?
What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Gary out of Atlanta, Jason.
Gary out of Atlanta, what's on your mind?
Well, I was what caught my attention was, like you were saying, the money given to California is given out to the Mexicans. So if they're able to give out $500 to undocumented Mexicans, so that means they can do whatever they want to do. Each governor, each senator, they can do whatever they want to do for each state. So giving reparations, it doesn't even have to come from the president. So we're defending these Democrats, but they just gave out $500 to Mexicans that don't even – they're getting money under the table.
Well, yeah. I mean, they have to, though. It's like healthcare and everything else. Even if you understand, this is the strategy that they've employed. So when you heard Kamala Harris say it, she was letting you know what the policy is. The policy is don't do anything specifically for Black people. And even if external circumstances, you have to do something specifically for Black people, you make sure you do something for everybody. Even if they don't ask for it, you overrun the law, you ignore the law, you ignore the rules, you do not do anything that is going to disproportionately benefit Black people. And illegals are an integral, essential part of that formula because there are not enough white people anymore natively reproducing to be able to stop us, so they need buffer classes that they're having to induct. Like draftees into a war, they're inducting these buffer classes, Asians, Latinos, and then saying, give them whatever they want. Coming in California, they'll stop niggas out there. They're buying a bunch of stuff in Florida. All right, they'll stop them over there. You got the Hispanics down there in the deep south. All right, they'll stop them there. You got them crawling all the way up to New York. Okay, they'll get them there. So you see, that's the strategy. Whatever you do for Black folk, you do twice as much for everybody else, whether it's officially a law or whether it's unofficial. What you're talking about is they're unofficially, artificially helping these other people. They haven't passed an official law that gives them the authorization to do that, so they're doing it unofficially. Yeah, because if they see something giving you $2,000, it's like, wait, hold on, no. If you're going to give Black folk $2,000, our buffer classes have to be equally helped so they can keep up. We have reparations for us and just for us. So we're not playing this game anymore of you're going to help everybody, because by keeping everybody, quote, helping everybody, you're keeping us where we are. And we know that's the game. So that's the difference. I'll let you have the last word.
Well, Jason, I used to work for Baker Hughes Oil out in Odessa, Texas. And one thing I know for sure, that was during the Bush era, well, the end of it. Obama, who just became president, because wholeheartedly, they represent the Republicans at the end of the day. Because even with Bush trying to send a lot of them back to Mexico at that time, they still voted wholeheartedly Republican. So that shows you, like, you know, we got to change our mentality on this whole thing, and we got to fight for our rights and fight for our reparations. And nobody has our back like y'all all say. Be one.
Black First Brother, thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. I want to touch on something briefly. I don't know about to get a chance to do this again, but in case you all didn't know, probably the first major bankruptcy has been announced. Neiman Marcus. Retail has been taken on the chin now for a decade. It looks like the COVID-19 outbreak is going to be the death knell for a lot of them. But I want you all to understand, these major corporations are at a disadvantage right now, which is why they're demanding that the economy be opened back up again. Nobody. Netflix can't keep up right now. They can't make new shows. They can't make new seasons. The corporation can't get their machine back going like it used to be. So those of us in the new black media who are not dependent upon these large corporate apparatus, we really have a lane open to us right now while these guys are sidelined. So don't let this be an impediment. Just understand this is an incredible opportunity for you. Your retail outlets, your big corporate media outlets, they're all having to learn basically how to podcast. Go look at CNBC, MSNBC. Folks are all broadcasting out of their homes. So really, they're not going to be able to get back to where they were for a while now. They can't get together in groups like they used to be able to do these big productions. They can't put them out anymore. Everything is on hold. Everything on hold. And this presents opportunities for us in the middle of this. We got an opportunity now. Take advantage of it. Let me get one last caller here. Let me get caller from area code 773. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Calling from Chicago, Illinois. My name is Taryn Allen.
All right, Taryn Allen, what's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind, Jason? It's a pleasure to listen to you. Always, as always. Also, that dude he was talking to you from Texas, he's a straight nut. He's a Sambo-ass nigga. Anyway, I enjoy your program, bro. I was calling you because in Oak Park, Illinois, where I used to live, they were setting off some type of smoke apparatus, something coming from this apparatus like gas in the air. And the sister that sent me the information, she said, Al, what is this? I said, I don't know, probably some type of poison they spread in the air. I just want to know your outcome of that. They're trying to kill us.
Keep your eye on anything and everything. Question everything. Don't believe anything. Because right now, the federal government has told the state to do the freeze, and that's where they got you at right now. So question everything. Investigate everything. Keep asking questions. Don't let it go. You cannot depend on the white corporate media apparatus. Question everything. Do not do anything that you don't know about, because they don't let you do anything that they don't know about. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get caller from area code 504. You're on my back.
Yeah, Jason, this is Quincy from New Orleans.
Quincy from New Orleans, what's on your mind?
Man, look, we got to wait till these fucking old people die out so we could
take over,
you know?
No, we don't. No, we don't. We taking over now. We overthrowing
right
now. The overthrow happened now. We taking over here. We ain't waiting on a damn thing. No, be patient. Sit back. Wait your turn. Damn, my turn. My turn is now. My
right
turn is now.
Right.
This is it right now. You can walk off the stage. You can get your ass blown off, this son of a gun. But my time is now. It ain't waiting on nothing. Ask Harris if we waiting. Ask John
right
Lewis if we waiting. Ask Barack Obama if we waiting. Ask James Clyburn if we waiting. Ain't waiting on a damn thing. Ain't waiting on a damn thing. The future is now. This is it. I sign off the broadcast every time telling you all the same thing. Remember, black is the future. Well, guess what? The future is today. We ain't waiting on nothing, brother. We're not waiting on anything. We got no time to wait. And furthermore, let's just be very clear. Them niggas too weak to hold it. Let's just
way
say it like
weak
it is. They too weak to hold it. When I meant what I said, these old bastards up off the block. You speak to hold it. It ain't your corner no more. It's our corner now. We taking right. the whole pot. You getting up off this corner now. We ain't waiting on nothing. You out to paint today. When there's no vote, there's no negotiation, you're in center. Why do you think they sending out Bowling Ball Martin? Tom Joyner, we ran him clean up off the damn radio. Ebony Magazine. Ebony Magazine is on a milk carton now. I told people we would retire it to the ash heap of history. Guess what? The ash heap is burning. We ain't waiting on nothing. BET is irrelevant. We ain't waiting on anything. Brother, presidential candidates were repeating us in the new black media. They were repeating us.
Right.
Let's just be very clear about that. They were repeating us in the new black media. Their presidential candidates were saying, cut the check, arguing about that. Their presidential candidates, what's reparations? I hear people talking about cash reparations. Only one place said that. One. Not 51. Only one said that. Just one.
Right.
Just one. So I want you to be aware of where we at. No, brother, first of all, we have no time to waste, and second of all, we don't have to. Second of all, we don't have to. This is our time. This is our time right now. We ain't waiting on a damn thing. This is our time. But remember what I've told you, brother. Power is not given. Power is taken. The problem is we can't wait around to, quote, be given it. Because power is not given. We'll just be 100 years from now. I mean, because you're talking about folks, but remember, they already trying to get together a buffer class in black society, the Dre McKessons and whatnot. Remember, they tried to christen them, quote, the civil rights leaders, who are really just giving the same old Sambo talk. So if we sit back waiting on the old-timers to go, white supremacy is just going to prop up a new generation of bootlicks and butt-kissers. No! No. We dealing with it right here, right now. We taking you out right now. We ain't waiting on nothing. We're not leaving this to the children. We dealing with you right here. And we're winning. The other problem is we winning. What the hell are we going to wait for, bro? We winning. We're winning. If you don't believe we're winning, go ask Kamala Harris. Go ask Cory Booker. Go ask Klobuchar. Go ask Diane, what her name is, Pocahontas. Think she's a Native American. Forgetting her name off the top of my head. Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, yeah.
Go ask Bernie Sanders. Go ask Bernie Sanders if we're winning. Go ask him. What's reparations? Corey, I don't know what that is. What's reparations? Go ask them if we're winning. Go ask them if we're effective. For giving us a call here tonight. No, brothers and sisters, our foot's on the gas. We ain't letting off of it. We ain't letting off the gas. We're winning. Why on earth would we possibly let up on the gas we went in? Mike Bloomberg came in spending $500-600 million, and it didn't do nothing to save $500 million write-off. Ask him if we're winning. Ask him if we run the show. Ask him if we set the agenda. Wait for what? When we're already in the driver's seat, wait for what? Everyone's scared to death to show his face now. Ask him if we're winning. Ask him if we're winning. If it's working. Ask him who sets the agenda now. We ain't hiding and sitting up here not promoting our agenda. We're saying it every time we get a chance to do so. He looked at me. I endorse Joe Biden. And now I'm going to go back here to the LGBT convention with Andrew Gillum. Michelle, take it away. Go ask him. We got former presidents and current presidential candidates on the run. You and them are winning. The ones who will actually to you. Because now they're terrified to death to take an honest question because they're going to get real answers. We have educated the people and we're just getting started. We're just getting warm. No, we ain't letting off of nothing. No reparations, no boat. We don't have to wait for it to be effective in the future. It's effective now. We got the wind at our backs and the momentum is on our side. We're running this thing now. We're not on our way to running it. We're already running it. People, don't wait for a damn news flash from CNN to tell you set the agenda. CNN knows about me, me specifically. I've told you all this all for years. I've had folk from CNN contact me. I bought footage from CNN. I bought footage from CNN. CNN knows who the hell I am. They know who we are. The footage you saw, I got that from CNN. At the low, low price of $200 a second. If you want to know how much it costs to license footage from CNN, for the low, low price of $200 a second. CNN knows who the hell I am. CBS knows who the hell I am. The Breakfast Club knows who the hell we are. I spoke to the lady who works at the damn office with Charlamagne and Envy. I'm not guessing my way through this. They know who the hell I am. That's why they make a very conscious effort not to. You don't know who I am? That's not possible. It isn't possible. No, their job is to make it seem like they're still in charge even when they're not. People, these folks don't ever take off their poker face. You've got to understand. They never take off their poker face. They're going to keep riding this thing until they are forced to get off that saddle. But they're never going to sit up here and make a news flash saying that we run the agenda. Why? Because they make all of their money by claiming that they run the agenda. They're not going to sit up here and give that away. They're going to sit up here and put up a headline stating that we're more powerful than them. We just have to know we are. We have to do the math. We have to look at the results. We have to look at where they stand and where we stand and then see who's prevailing every time we clash and then make some common sense assessments that, hey, we're running it. We said that this is what we wanted to happen. They said that's what they wanted to happen. The outcome we wanted is what happened. Okay, to go. Brothers and sisters from around the world, you have to start recognizing when you are winning. Black folks are so used to losing, they can't even really recognize a win when they get it. That's how confined and chained up our minds are. You got to recognize when you're winning. And when you recognize when you're winning, everything else comes together. Brothers and sisters, we're winning, but I'm just saying this is just the first quarter of the game. We got to keep pressing. We got to keep pressing. This isn't the time to sit down. This is the time for us to lay it down. But we ain't backing off a damn thing. No reparations, no vote. That's what it's going to be. Holla back in 2024. And if you ain't got some act right then, 2028. And if you ain't got some act right after that, we can keep going. We ain't going nowhere, despite your best efforts. We in Washington for Man on Fire. Sure, take your time. You can wait. I got all day. You don't, but I do. You don't, but I do. This is what it is. If you haven't been to our website, blackchannelfilms.com, you need to go check out our documentary work, 7 a.m., Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing, American Style, our newest documentary, Race War, all available on sale, all available now, all available for streaming. If you are new here to the Black Channel, welcome to the Haven of Intelligent Black Thought. We do this every weekend. over 93,000 subscribers and rising. We are not a little thing by any stretch of the imagination. Click the like button and you share this. And to everyone who has contributed to what we do here, thank you for that. We appreciate that. Folks who put their money where their mouths are, that makes the difference. I try to shout out as many of you as I can. I try to give you a thanks whenever I can, because you could have gone off and tricked off your little money. I know it's hard right now. I know it's difficult. I'm going to thank you personally for staying focused in this era and in this time. You know who you are, and you know you're appreciated. So thank you very much for doing that. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio program. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters, Black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.